All right. So welcome to week six of Infallible Health with Gina Gabellini and David DeFrancesco. And today we're going to be talking about what intuitive eating is all about.
Oh, I'm so glad we're going to talk about this.
I know. It's a great topic. What comes up for you when you hear that? Why are you so excited?
Because sometimes intuitively I want something that I think is bad for me. And I will talk myself out of it, even though the very first hit is a big hell yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, oh, no, you can't because, and then list why I can't, and then end up sulking away and eating salads.
Sulky salads.
That doesn't even sound good to me.
Yeah, well, it happened to me today.
The salad
couldn't have been more horrible, taste-wise. Mm. But I had to talk myself out of something else.
Mm.
So, yeah, this is why when I put that down, I thought, boy, I hope we talk about food today because I could really use a...
Good. You know, and I even I noticed, I was telling Eva today on a call earlier, I said, wow, it takes some really getting used to and busting up my thoughts around food, too, because I'm pregnant. Today, I was literally every hour, I'm like, I'm hungry. No, that can't be. I've already had breakfast. I had two snacks. It's only 11 o'clock. I'm hungry again. I was like, well, I'm hungry again. Mm-hmm. Got to honor that. And at first, I was resisting, like, no. Couldn't be. Is that real? And just really being able to honor that because I'm not used to eating that much. I eat a lot, but I'm really not. Is that real or is that Memorex? You know, is it real or is that really me making up stuff? It's like, no, you really are hungry. You can trust that. And so what if you just ate an hour ago? And my snacks were substantial snacks, but not judging that and really listening to, no, this is really what my body's calling for. It's not just me being pregnant. Everybody's got to drop the rules, and it's amazing how many rules are put in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, David, I know you know this one, I'm quite sure. This is back from my, you know, when I not was weightlifting, and I read every muscle and fitness magazine ever known to man. I read Shape magazine. I had all the books, and on top of that, let me just go get my certification to be a trainer. I was so embedded in my brain to eat 5-6 times a day that sometimes even now I'll notice I'm in the kitchen because it's that mid-morning snack time, but I'm not hungry.
Right.
And eating anyways because it's so embedded in my brain that this is my time frame that I eat in because mm-hmm. this is what I've been trained to do.
Right. I think it really comes down to critically an issue of self-trust.
Mm-hmm.
The process that you went through this morning, for instance, was important. These hankerings for certain foods or eating at certain times that are not quite the way we've been told is right for us. It is important to kind of take a momentary step back and really examine to where that's coming from. And if you can honestly say, hey, this is real. I mean, I really do feel like I would like some red meat, or I really feel right now I should have lunch. Even though, and I just did this myself. I had lunch at 10:30 this morning. It wasn't noon. It wasn't like within the lunch hour, but I knew I was honestly hungry, so I had a little bit of lunch then. It comes back to starting to trust yourself and honoring what you're feeling. I mean, one of the big reasons why Gina and I even wanted to do this was with the approach that you all listening to this, either here live or later on this recording, are your own best expert regarding your body. Our bodies are survival mechanisms. They are not meant to be doing stupid stuff. I mean, it will let you know if something's amiss. And you'll know that through your emotions, through your feelings, through the things that are coming up for you with regards to the way your bodies are reacting and behaving. So when you honestly feel attracted to a piece of food, first, I think, take a step back, see where that's coming from. If that's an honest feeling, go with it. You end up eating that salad and not feeling good about it. And it goes back to what we've been talking about in earlier weeks about what happens chemically, that even though you're eating supposedly what is being defined as good food, your body is going to react so very different with it as opposed to if you had done what you wanted to do to begin with.
You know, I just came up with a good this was not going to be the homework, but this is now the homework for this week is to try this, and we're going to give you more. We're going to talk about it for the rest of the time that we're together about intuitive eating. But as an experiment in learning to trust your body and then seeing what results come up, for 2 weeks, eat intuitively only as an experiment. And I'll give you the reason why. Because you need practice, and I tried this before with, and this is, I changed my life by doing this not around food, but with another topic, which is inspired actions. So we could call this, intuitive eating could be called inspired eating, because it's the same thing, you're really listening to your inner guidance. And it was because Eva and I used to teach, and we still do, a class called the Prosperity Game, and in that class there was a whole segment on inspired actions. And, you know, we challenged people for the week that we taught that class, okay, this week, take inspired actions only. Scratch what you thought you were going to do and just take inspired actions. And we do the same thing. There's a week where we say, okay, do nothing. Like, your job is to totally relax, and people are freaking out going, what? I can't. Are you kidding me? Everything will go to hell in a handbasket if I relax. And the same thing with inspired actions. Well, if I wanted to follow my inspiration, I'd sit in front of the TV and eat bonbons. And we said, great, do it. If that's really what feels good to you. And they said, well, what if I just followed inspired actions, just like people thinking, well, if I just followed intuitive eating, I'll just eat whatever I want and I'll blow up and be a blimp. Not true. Because what happens is if you allow your body to do what it naturally wants to do, you will be guided to the perfect food. And at first, because you're giving yourself permission, sure, if you've been saying no, 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 shame, shame, shame on these 3 of 10 of your most favorite foods and you gave yourself permission to eat them, sure, for the first day or two, you might OD on them. But then what will happen is naturally your body will calibrate and your inner food expert will then start leading you to things that actually will create more alignment with you. Because if you just ate bonbons all day, I guarantee you, at the end of the day, you're probably not going to feel so good. Because
that's
you're doing
true.
It.
I did that with cupcakes yesterday.
And you didn't bring any to class?
Well, it was my dad's birthday, and that's his favorite thing. So we sat around and we ate cupcakes practically all day.
Yeah.
And now I don't ever want to see one again. Yes, right.
And it's true, because what will happen is at first sight, it's joy, right? The cupcake. We'll use cupcakes as an example. You know, cupcakes are joy. And then it becomes really more of an emotional attachment or the resistance to it or rebelliousness. But it's not coming from a pure, clean place. So you're actually eating emotionally, not intuitively. And then pretty soon, you have an adverse reaction, whether it's like you feel sluggish or you feel so guilty or whatever comes up, you say, okay, something needs to shift here, and then you're guided to something else. But most of the time we're over course correcting and we're still using our, if you can picture a Catholic church and the nuns, how they used to be, I know that they're a lot better now, but they used to be really rigid and they used to love to snap people on the butts with their rulers, and they had paddles. And they were very stern, and it was all about discipline. And that's how we are with ourselves around our body. When you're feeling that, that's not coming from intuition or being good. That would be going in the opposite direction. But that's what we do to ourselves mentally, right? Like, oh, my God, I can't eat at 10:30 for my lunch. But David's like, yes, I can. So intuitively eating for 2 weeks would really teach you how to tune in, and then you can see, well, all right, I didn't blow up like a blimp, because if you really get into the flow with it, you won't. Your body will thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it will become
my question about that and weight loss. Many of us would like to drop a few pounds and love the idea of intuitive eating.
Mm-hmm.
And on the times that I've done it, it's been nice, but when my intuition says to reach for something that I think is good for me, it seems to work well. But I still do have a fear that if I intuitively reach for In-N-Out burger, that even though it feels good to think about it and even to eat it, I will gain weight as a result of it and feel guilty about it.
Here's what I have to say about that, and then David, you can chime in. You've got to be committed to the process and knowing that it will take some practice to have full permission. There's only one time where I see really people have full permission, but they've already set it up for, they give themselves permission, but they decide after that that they're probably going to feel bad or they're going to gain weight. It's such a setup to lose. They do it with the holidays. Oh, yeah, I always pork out over the holidays. And then I got to go back on that diet or, you know, take it off after. Or people talk about that way with vacations and specifically cruises. there's this predetermined story that I'm going to gain weight. But at first, they're excited because they think, I have permission. On these days, I give myself permission. But right coming in behind it is, and I'm going to gain weight, and then I'm going to have to do something about it afterwards, versus I'm just going to give myself permission, and I'm going to enjoy it, and all will be well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Something to add to that, and first, to reiterate what Gina said, is this is not a light switch. This is going to be a process. There's going to be times we are going to feel guilty. There's going to be times where it is going to be a process for me. This is my livelihood. This is what I do. And it even has been years for me to get to the point where I can honestly feel I'm intuitive in my own eating. Now, there are times where I do grab for convenience, even though my mind's telling me something else. There's times when I don't listen sometimes, to be honest with you, but more often than not, I do. And it's taken me a couple years to get to this point. But I will say this, though. Once I've been at this point, I'm not expecting perfection. This is not being 100% here. It's just feeling better about your choices more often than not. I can honestly say that I don't think my weight's fluctuated in 4 or 5 years. It just doesn't. And I'm not eating all the supposed great diet foods all the time. You know, I have a couple slices of pizza every once in a while. I do go to In-N-Out every so often. I do pay attention a little bit more to what I'm eating. And then kind of the next part of this is we kind of think we're going to go out of control when we start eating supposedly more these cupcakes and things. The other part of this is not only pay attention to what you're feeling attracted to food-wise, but also pay attention to when you're full. We get a lot of ourselves wrapped up around this clean our plates. Or a meal is supposed to look like this or supposed to consist of this. And the other part of this is also pay attention to when you're honestly feeling full. And you may be surprised how little food it takes for you to get there.
Mm. And or in my case, I've got to have training the other way. I think that I should only eat this much, but my body's saying, go, 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 eat more. And I'm going, no, but that's too much. Or, wait a minute, I just finished, I was very, you know, satiated, and I felt full, complete, you know, ready to hit the bed because I ate so perfectly for the, you know, an hour ago, and now I'm hungry again. How can that be? Well, I just am. Go eat. And it's not just because I'm pregnant. I've done that before where I've had the opposite. So if you're one of those people, too, you're stopping because you think it's appropriate to stop right here. Mm-hmm. This is all I should eat, and I should save half for tomorrow because otherwise I'm a porker. You know, I'm eating too much. Not true. I mean, really, it goes, you know, there's so many different ways to look at intuitive eating, and including what we talked about in the beginning of the call, which is the time. Mm-hmm. What time is it? Well, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, should I wait to have my breakfast? Well, no, my stomach's growling now, and I'm really hungry. Then eat now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't think I've eaten at a regular supposed mealtime in quite some time, to be honest with you. And if I did a food diary and looked at everything, I'd find there's some days where I eat twice a day. There's some days where I eat 5 times a day. There's days where I intended to have a lighter dinner and ended up eating, you know, everything I'd cooked. It really is remarkable the variations that are possible when you're actually paying attention to what your body is telling you. And I will say this, your energy levels, you don't have these dips and dives. You don't have a lot of the feeling bloated or feeling starved or all the other issues that we have with regards to foods. You really don't have these issues when you're coming from a place of listening to what your body is asking you to do.
How will you give yourself permission to do this?
That's a good question. I really feel that it's a wonderful thing to do, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I know the difference between a craving that comes from being bored or upset or needing comfort and my body's joyful desire to eat a particular thing. But I am stuck on the belief aspect of it. I have an ingrained belief, because it's worked for me before and always does work for me, that certain kinds of foods are going to make me gain weight and certain other types of foods are going to help me lose weight. I'm not a calorie counter. For me, it's about what the food is.
Right.
And I'm, for better or for worse, very stuck on a particular idea of how I should be eating because it's always worked for me in the past. Mm-hmm. But there are times when I really do want to eat something that's not on the list of open things.
On those occasions where you do honestly feel like something that might be on your bad list,
mm-hmm.
trying to pause, clear a little bit about it, mm-hmm. and go ahead with the choice?
I think that might be my best bet, to do what I believe is right, because you really, you know, law of attraction and all that,
right.
you have to line up with what you believe in
mm-hmm.
or change your belief. I think you said this on a previous call.
Right.
You really pretty much got to pick one or the other. In a sense, I mostly do what I think is going to work for me, but if I really want to have the thing that's not on the list and it would feel so great to have it, then I think giving myself permission to do that would be extremely downstream.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this would be a practice, and the thing that would make this easiest for you, mm-hmm. if you just took a stab at it for 2 weeks, is to stop and clear your energy and get centered and see if that will work, but make that your practice because you're breaking a habit, and the only way to break the habit, if you constantly just go, well, I just got to keep sticking with what I know will work for me,
mm-hmm.
you're actually not going to break the habit because you want freedom with food, correct?
Yes, I do, and I also want to be able to have the health and the body that I want to have.
Well, guess what? You get to have them both.
Okay. Okay.
So let's look at reality because it sounds like you need some proof. The reality is, and I can say this because I know a lot about you, your body already looks good, and you already sometimes eat good, things you consider good, and sometimes you go on binges with things that you think are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already not eating with what you, quote, think is okay, and you still look good.
That's true. I haven't gained tremendous amounts of weight, maybe a pound or two here and there.
Right. So nothing to be alarmed about. You're not scared that you're going to have to go to a fat farm. You're pretty okay.
Yeah. My thing is not what I weigh or anything like that. It's how clothes fit a certain way.
But the reality is your clothes still fit, not too bad out of balance, and you're still not eating according to what you think is good. So the fact is you're already not doing it correctly, and it's working so-so. So what if you allowed yourself with permission to eat that way? How could that get any worse?
Probably it wouldn't. I guess. This is such a struggle, and, you know, probably other people can relate, too, because I really do want to lose a little bit of weight. I really do. And, yes, things are fine as they are, actually, but I have a particular goal in mind, and I would like to be able to line up with doing the intuitive eating and also slimming down.
Well, you could never, from the way that you're thinking now, ever get to your ideal weight and stay there because your focus right now is on what you don't want anyways.
Okay.
So the way that you're currently doing it is not going to get you any of the pieces that you want. You won't maintain your few extra pounds off, and you're not going to have freedom of food.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, you've got to make a different choice.
So the best choice is intuitive eating and believing that it works.
Exactly. But at first, why not do it not to lose weight?
Yeah.
Because what's happening is your body, once you get off your own case about it, mm-hmm. and your brain, what I really mean, lighten up about food in your body, you will have freedom. And if you seek the freedom first with food to be able to enjoy whatever you want to enjoy, go for that first. Secondary, have it be about ideal body weight. Because if you were eating intuitively, there would be no doubt in our minds, we would bet big money on it that you would have the exact body that you wanted.
Okay. I really, really, really want to believe that.
Well, there's only one way to do it. Test it out.
Okay. As we know, I have time, so I can do this.
Yeah. Well, the other aspect of this is this point of trusting yourself, kind of connecting to yourself intuitively. These are new muscles. For a lot of people, they have not done this consistently over a period of time. They might do it for little spells or maybe not even done it consistently at all. So just like anything, it's going to take a little bit of time. And it also is not about doing it 100%. It's making the best choices you can at that moment.
Okay.
Okay. I think a lot of us tend to hold very high standards for ourselves, very high expectations. I'm as guilty of this as anyone. And we kind of somehow go through our day constantly disappointed in ourselves. And in reality, we're doing phenomenally well. In the greater scheme of things, we're doing phenomenally well. What we've done is, though, we were not really paying attention to that. So we've created all these challenges and all these non-supportive thoughts that really make this hard. And it's really a process to just allow yourself to be human.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself the space. Give yourself the time to do it a little bit, see how that works. And as things go on, you get a little more and a little more. But give yourself that space to create that. Because I've seen it so many times before, the falling off the wagon moment, where all of a sudden someone had a little splurge or something. They go like, oh, it's all for naught. It's all, you know, I've blown it all. You know, it's all disaster. And, you know, and then you just go right back to mentally, emotionally to square one. Really isn't the case. You probably have more likely have made 9 wonderful choices in a row and one that wasn't probably intuitive. But that doesn't undo the 9 that you just did. And really, as a matter of really just saying, okay, that's what that was. I'm human. I'm moving on. Right back on the horse.
And by correlating food with weight, what happens is, especially when your goal is to lose weight, there are some people who are trying to gain weight, and same thing, they can't gain weight no matter what they eat because they're focused on exactly what they don't want, and they think food is the only avenue. And what happens is you're taking away your joy, first of food, but you don't get to enjoy your food because you're constantly critiquing or forcing yourself to eat things that you're really not in alignment with at that moment. And two, you ruin your whole experience of having this fabulous physical body. Even if someone is overweight, we have miraculous bodies to be in gratitude about. And so we're missing all this great stuff. And I know, David, when you were talking about beating yourself up, not doing it well enough, and then you get on yourself. I remember at some point, I forget what made me think this, but I've been going along my coaching and doing just fine and working with my clients. And then at some point last year, I thought, if the Coaches Training Institute, who I got trained with, saw how I did my coaching calls, I don't think it would be in accordance to what they taught me. I think that I'm doing a lot more teaching versus asking questions, and I need to get back to the skills. Well, then I started critiquing everything that I was saying, and now I'm not listening to intuition, and I'm very much in my head, which separates me from the client, and I thought, oh, my gosh. Oh, none of this is working. And then I went to a coach's training, another course called In the Bones, where you just have full permission to coach any way you want. And it brought me back around because I was put in the hot seat. I was assisting, and they kept asking me to do these demos, and I had to play in every exercise. And I kept going, great. Now I'm on stage, and now everyone's going to critique me. They proposed Gina's a master coach, and she's been doing it for this many years. I'm like, shh, don't tell them that. They're going to expect great things, and I'm doing it all wrong. And I went in, and I just said, you know what? I'm here for the learning, so just do it the way that I would normally do it so that if I do get feedback, I can really use it. Forget about performing and doing good coaching. My feedback was phenomenal. It was all positive, and it just made me realize if I am just following what I naturally do, forget all the things that I've been taught. I'm incorporating most of it, and who cares what it looks like? Follow what's in the moment. My coaching is effective. When I get in my head, it's when it's not effective, and it's the same thing for your body and anything around it in terms of health. But when you judge it, you take all the joy out of it.
Yes, that's true. I can totally feel that.
So your job then, it's not about, okay, you all leave the call and just trust that your bodies are going to look smashing and eat whatever way you want. And, you know, Bridget, you go ahead and eat all the wheat you want. And, you know, it's a little bit of practice, and it's tuning in to find that balance as you're going through it, but to start just allowing full trust, and your inner expert will tell you exactly what needs to happen with your body always.
Right. There's another aspect in this that you kind of need to be aware of. It'll make things a lot easier for yourselves. Is understand that your body is changing all the time. It's literally a chemistry factory. Being pregnant, all the different hormonal things that are going on for Gina, all of us, men and women, hormonally fluctuate throughout the day. We fluctuate. Women, you know, they have their periods every month. Men, the testosterone levels fluctuate throughout the day. Women, hormonal levels fluctuate even throughout the day. When those things happen, they don't happen in a vacuum. And you're going to feel feedback toward being attracted to certain foods during certain times. And that's okay. It's just part of the process. And that's why it's so important to try to get out of the habit of thinking of foods as good or bad. For men, a lot of times, especially because of the way our hormonal levels react to stress, it suppresses testosterone. It really drops. So we get attracted to foods that are more protein-based, and in an effort to try to bring up the testosterone levels, and depending upon what's going on with the rest of the day, we usually get attracted to chips and like those crunchy type carbs. Women, more often than not, again, it's, you know, these are not absolutes, but especially during certain times of the month, get attracted to the fats. So the chocolates, the cheeses, those types of foods generally tend to be the sort of the guilty foods that we kind of, our bodies are telling us we want, and go with that. I mean, just understand that what kind of what's going on with your body, kind of taking a broader view of these feelings, these intuitive hits that you're getting from your body, are not coming out of a vacuum. They're coming because of a reason. It could be stress. It could be pleasure. It could be all sorts of things. But you have to allow yourself the space to make a broader set of choices and allow yourself more than these narrow expectations of what's good or bad.
That would be like cooking from a recipe. If we were just to follow the rules all the time, it'd be like cooking from a recipe that doesn't quite taste good, but you just eat it, or you're a salt, the person who adds salt, so you just add salt to everything before you taste it. But by tasting something, if you're making a recipe, you can say, oh, you know what? This needs a little bit more Worcestershire sauce, or this needs a little bit more sugar. But how would you know unless you actually stopped to check in with it? Otherwise, you're just going by somebody else's rules, and this whole thing could be new and improved if you would trust what you know is best. Like if somebody hands me a margarita, I'm an expert on margaritas. They always say, and they will always hand me their drink when we're at a restaurant. Like, Gina, this doesn't taste right. Tell me what it needs so I can go back and tell the bartender. I couldn't tell them what it needed, though, unless I stopped and tasted it. And so for with our bodies, if you are to say, this is my exercise regimen because this is what I've heard, and this is what I'm supposed to eat because these are the good foods, bad foods, and not just because I read it in a magazine, but a doctor told me too, but intuitively, I want this other thing, but boy, I'm going to stick to this recipe. It's not going to end up in delightful results. You might get a so-so end result, but not in particular the way that you want, because you really can trust your body. This is like trusting your inner guidance on any topic, whether it's business or mates or, you know, what is my inspired action next? This is the same process, but there's been so many rules made up about this particular thing that no wonder it's hard to break.
Mm-hmm. This, I think, is at least as hard as the relationship thing for me.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is to start setting up a pattern that this will be easier for you. Don't see it as hard. Decide that this is an experiment and you're going to play with it, and that you'll have an easier time than in the past because you're playing from a bigger perspective now.
Mm-hmm. Another question I have is about score keeping, like getting on the scale every day or counting your calories or otherwise tallying your progress. For me, that's extremely upstream, and I think it has actually hampered me in many ways because I don't like doing it. Is it at all important to do that? I mean, other than how my clothes fit in terms of dieting, I don't like to count numbers.
It's just something else to attach a negative feeling about yourself, to just kind of reinforce that. Well, let me ask you this. You said even though you don't want to, you do it. Why do you do that then?
Well, part of the reason is that a girlfriend of mine and I have sort of decided we want to do this together, and she's for her it's very downstream to count.
Okay.
For me, it's not, and I actually am going to have a conversation with her today about how I'm going off of our agreement, and I'm going to do intuitive eating.
Okay.
And hope that lands, well, it'll land with her however it does, but...
you mentioned the one thing that does go more downstream for you is how the way your clothes fit. Use that as your benchmark. In other words, that's one of the biggest challenges that I have found in this industry that I am a part of. And one of the first things I need to address with a new client is one of the first things they ask me is, tell me about your diet program. Mm. And my program is no program. In other words, what works for your friend and what you've seen successful for people out there may not be what is successful for you. Likewise, the other way around. You know, a lot of people are going to ask you, oh, what are you doing? You're looking so much better, so on and so forth. And that's why when you go to the process of intuitively connecting rather than rhetorically connecting, everyone can get results because you're listening to your individual body, thought, and feeling with regards to results that work for you. It's not going to be across the board. That is one of the greater issues that we all fall into. It's great to have the support system. Absolutely. I think it's important for you both to try to continue to work together on this. I think it helps you. I think it helps her. But what you are going to have to open up with is other benchmarks that work for you. The numbers for her work, so, you know, that's fine. But you're going to need something that's a little bit more downstream that works for you.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, too. I think that's a good idea.
Here's the other thing to be careful of. I was just on another call where I was relating money and health. There was people who felt strongly about both and were having the same issue. When I look at what is so and what's happening, and I definitely don't see progress, and I'm definitely noticing I'm not where I want to be, it's so upsetting for me that I cannot get locked onto the goal. All I see is where I'm at. And so measuring many times, even if it's by your clothes, is not going to serve you. The best indicator if you're going down the right path is, how am I feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're feeling good and you're consistently feeling good, the results won't help to be able to show up. They will show up. But remember sometimes just that lag time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like even if you were to go on, let's say, South Beach. Both my sister-in-law and my brother, when they were going to get married, their whole thing before they got married was they both went on South Beach. My mom was on South Beach, and my mom only got on South Beach because those two were on South Beach, and they were kicking butt, and they were looking hot. And it wasn't the South Beach diet. They were so committed to looking good on their wedding day. They had a compelling reason and a compelling vision that was pulling them forward. So my mom got on it, and she said, how come those guys said they dropped this much weight in their first 2 weeks? How come I'm not? Well, there could be a whole host of reasons, but if you're still doing the comparison game on time or that you think you should be seeing results by this time, then what happens is you start beating yourself up again and you backslide because you second-guess what you've been up to.
Right.
Your best indicator is, how am I feeling? Is this working for me? Is how I'm feeling.
Absolutely. That is very well said, Gina. This is not about replacing one benchmark with another. The ultimate goal is to be at a place where you're completely intuitive and you're completely going by feeling. But sometimes you do need a little bit of a mid-step to get to that point. And especially when you're interacting with people around you, it's important for you to respect your process enough to find that which serves you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is excellent, because when I talk with her today about this, I'm going to bring up all these points, and she's very open. I'm sure she'll be fine with it, but I've been needing to do it because I have not been making the kind of progress I wanted to, and I now understand it's because I've been pushing against the time factor, and I've been hating the idea of weighing myself and counting calories, and so of course it's not working, because I don't like it, and it feels rotten to me.
Right. And in reality, what's happening here is you may not be doing it consciously, but certainly subconsciously. One person may be saying, oh, I lost 5 pounds. Another person may say, oh, I lost only 3. I mean, just the fact that there's the 2-pound difference, 3 feels less than 5. When in reality, if you looked at both people and what was really going on, the body composition, so on and so forth, the 3-pound may have been the better weight loss. You don't know. But we get attached to these numbers and the meanings and all that. It's really not a great tool to use on a basis like this, because it's going to just reinforce judgment and create spaces that's just not going to serve you in the long term.
Mm.
There might be another person or two that would like to share their ahas for the past week, so I will turn this back over to our crew here.
I really haven't been enjoying starting the day with what I appreciate about my body from head to toe before I get out of bed. And it kind of sets up conversations with me all day long that are nice. Even, I just went to the bank now, and the security guard said, boy, you look happy. So, and for me, meals amounts, what they are, time of day, it has been varying quite a bit. And my workouts as well, and meals, like yesterday, I was going to have lunch at 1. Patient came in, and next thing I know, it was 2. Next thing I know, it was like 3:30, and it's like, you know, I really am hungry now. And I stepped out the door, and I'm like, what do I want? And I just responded, Culver's. I never go eat at Culver's. It's sort of upper-class fast food place around here. Took a ride, got away from the building. The woman at the counter, I said, I'm not really familiar with your menu at all. And she says, well, we're known for our burgers. She was so nice to me. And I said, well, you know, I think I'll have a burger without the cheese. And what's your side? And I said, and she said, fries. And then she's kind of like, I really like fries. And I said, you know, I do too. Could a basket be with water? And she's like, you know, bottled water. So, but I sat down. She was really nice to me. I felt good. I sat down and enjoyed every bite and tasted it and was fully present with it. And it was like a treat. I turned everything off. You know, there's no phone. It was not anywhere near my office or near people I know. And it was just a total delight. I enjoyed it. And then, actually, that was my meal for the rest of the evening then, because it came, you know, later in the day. It's like, you know, I'm really not hungry for anything more right now. I just enjoyed having it. I didn't feel like I was sneaking or cheating or anything. It was just like what I wanted at the time. So that was kind of cool.
Yippee. That's awesome.
And two other cool things, maybe there might be, I told David, I sent you guys an email that my plastic surgeon was in as a patient. He always talks about tummy tucks, and I'm like, shut up. I'm going to do a tummy tuck in my imagination. And he wants to trade for veneers, you know, to dentistry. And I'm like, shut up. I'm not having you cut me. But my workouts, I just like, what does my body want to do? How do I want to move? And yesterday I ended up, like, jump on my rebounder 5 minutes, do some squats, do push-ups, do sit-ups, and did that 3 times in the morning and 3 sets in the afternoon. When I went to bed, I'm like, you know, I did 120 push-ups throughout the day yesterday, and lots of, I would have never sat down and done that, but it was like, it wasn't pushing, it was just having fun and playing a game. And I think I'm getting better at identifying emotions, but I did find out that most of the time when I go to eat, I wasn't even in touch with what emotion I was feeling at all. So I'm trying to tune in to that and make sure that it's a more joy, delight, instead of there was a time today that there was a tad of frustration. And I thought, you know, maybe I'm not really hungry. Maybe I just need to look at this frustration for a moment before I eat. So that's my story.
You guys are impressive. Kicking butt this week. That's good. Excellent.
Thanks.
Who's next? Step right up to the bask in glory plate here.
I had kind of a revelation yesterday where I fell into a behavior that ordinarily I don't think I would have, but when I left for work, I pulled the wrong container out of the refrigerator and it just had broccoli and tea in it. And I was expecting the container that also had some fish and other things in it. But I got to work and that's all I had to eat, and I was so busy I didn't have a chance to run out and get anything else, and I have a commute that's over an hour to get home. I got home and I was starving. Where usually then I would have put crackers or chips or anything that I could find in the pantry quickly into my mouth, I didn't. And I pulled out that fish for lunch and had that with my vegetables and didn't eat twice as much just because I kind of missed a meal. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really good. I was very proud of myself for that.
Cool.
This is good. I want to make a point about that because I know that feeling. I get you know, I almost get like the lion, like, look out, I need food. And there's a part of it that I notice comes from lack, and I'm not saying yours does, but if you ever notice, if any of you have decided that you're on some sort of time schedule, or if I eat this amount of food, then I'll be full, but if I don't, I won't. You can manage that. It's like being tired. I think we might have talked about that in this class. Tired is a perception. You know, the amount of sleep we need is a perception. Do we need sleep? Yes. It's how we reconnect and realign. It's definitely important. But if you know that you need to do something and you set your intention for being awake or feeling energized, you can literally change how you feel and you're no longer tired. It's the same thing with food. We're not going to die if we don't eat. My goodness. You know, even if you go a whole day, I mean, I've done so many different fasts and felt great and love them. But if people have a perception of, oh, my God, I'd be starving. I've watched people try to do them when they're not in alignment with them, and they're just so miserable. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a frame of mind. You can switch if you're noticing that. If your normal pattern is, oh, my gosh, I'm so hungry, and I'm going to open the pantry or the fridge and stuff whatever's in there in my mouth. First of all, it's not pleasurable. I mean, yes, you're being fed, but you're not even really paying attention to or slowing down enough to usually taste the food or decide what it is that you want. So intention's gone out the window. Mm-hmm. Having a snack is not bad. It's just usually in that state of mind, we're not connected. So you can control it, and you can hold out for the food that you really want if that food that you really want takes some cooking and you're going to have to wait a little. But it's a conscious decision. So just remember that. You can shift. You don't have to be ruled by the hunger at any moment. You can turn it off and shift gears and wait for what you really want. But it is, you have to change your mind.
How do you do
that? That comes first. David,
mind that shift.
Can you do it?
Yeah. How do you talk yourself to that point?
I think logic works wonders because you're just being driven at that moment when you're ravenous like that. It's a knee-jerk response. So anytime you feel like you're being, something else is driving you, and this goes towards any goal, like money, if you're being panicked about money, and like, oh my gosh, I need to do something, I need to attract money right now. Those are always your red flags. That is the moment you need to be quiet and say, okay, hold on. I'm in control here. What is it that I want? I do not need to react to this, and I'm okay. I'm going to live. Because most of the time, feels like, no, I have to do this, whether it's worry about money or, you know, stuff, whatever's in front of your face. So just use logic. I'll be fine. I can wait another half an hour if you need to cook something. Or just simply ask yourself, if I'm going to snack, what do I really feel like snacking on? And what's a good amount, knowing that if you want to take pleasure in a full-on meal, what's the amount that will feel good now? Because what happens is if you snack like that and you're stuffing it down your face, and then the yummy food that you were going to have, you're not really even hungry for it by the time you cook.
Right.
So you need to make a decision in that moment. And, hey, if you're just going to snack and just forget the meal, cool. Then choose snacks that, you know, you really want. And it's okay if it's not a, quote, what you would determine as a healthy food. But just make a true conscious choice. David, do you have more to say about that?
Yeah, I do have something to add here. You know, one of the things also is, we've talked about this earlier in this series, is to be in the present moment. And by that I mean you have to kind of jettison all the emotions and feelings that you had previous to the moment of making your food choices. I'll use this as an example. There's a few days out of the week, Wednesdays for me, for example, that are really packed to where I am back to back to back with clients, and I might have something to eat at 5 a.m. before I see my first client, and I literally will not have a moment to eat again to maybe 11 o'clock or midnight that night. So all that entire day is generally without eating. And there's been times where you, when I get to the end of the day like that, now that granted this is an extreme, but I think we've all been at days where we may have missed lunch or something and we were, and you know, you get home and you're starving. Emotionally, you're tied into the lack, the fact that you haven't eaten all day, and you immediately start going to having to try to make up for that. And the emotions tied up with that, it almost feels like this could happen again. So you need to almost prep for it again, just in case you find you don't eat for a while again. When in reality, right at that very moment, you have all the food choices right in front of you. You're there. This is the moment where you're eating. You don't have all those other situations of that day or what you're perceiving might happen in the future. At that particular moment, it's important to pause, kind of regroup, understand that, you know, you are at your point of power. It's from this point that you can make appropriate choices. And you'll find that more often than not, when you focus on not what happened earlier in the day, perhaps that you've missed a meal or concern that this might happen again and you have to kind of make up for it now, when you're in that moment, you're going to find that you're going to make both better food choices and you're going to eat to where you're full rather than to where you're stuffed. It's, again, taking a moment to refocus to where you're at currently, not worrying about the past or worrying about the future.
That's such a good point, because I know I used to be run by that, especially with coaching calls. If I had them back to back, I would eat in preparation, knowing that, okay, I'm going to have all these clients back to back. There's no way. I have a gap now. I might as well eat now, because I didn't want to feel that feeling of being hungry. So I would always eat prepared for that lackful, hungry feeling, and I would never feel good. And it was all tied into lack, and it was tied into future. I better prepare, because I wouldn't want to starve myself, God forbid. It's not going to happen. You know, I've eaten breakfast, Gina. You're not going to die if you have to wait an hour just because the clock says 12 and you can't eat at 12. It's very funny, the rules that we make up and how we have knee-jerk reactions to them. So I love that you just mentioned about being present, because I know when I was doing that, I was definitely future-focused and scared. I might get hungry, so I better eat a lot now.
One of the other elements I want to add to that, though, too, and we are going to talk about that on this call, is, you know, we were alluding to also then at that moment what you are choosing to eat. And there is a common issue sometimes, especially when you're coming from lack, of falling back into what I call our comfort foods, the foods that make us feel good, that kind of, you know, when we go for a long period of time, what we're perceiving as a long period of time, it could be just an hour of not eating, or concerned about what might be happening, you know, we go by, oh, you know, I'm going to make myself feel better, so I'm going to have, you know, these foods that make me feel better emotionally. And more often than not, then again, we're making choices out of emotion rather than out of, like Gina mentioned earlier, cool logic.
I just know when I've lost weight in the past and felt really good about myself, I've been in love either with the man or with just life. And then it just kind of fizzles out or something, or gets commonplace, and then I kind of go back to really... And I didn't feel deprived food-wise. You know, it just seemed to be natural that the weight came off. But then I'll go back to the patterns of eating to get that kind of high, so to speak, you know. And so, I don't know. I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, or if you have some experience with that.
You know, I want to say what came up for me as you were talking is, it's the same thing with your, you know, there's a difference, but when you want a goal, there's a difference between being attached to the goal, which is, I gotta have this, which is, you know, the place you're in, because you had this deadline, too, of the time that you were wanting to lose the weight because you have this, I gotta go to the family reunion and lose a zillion pounds before then, or forget it, you know,
right.
I'm gonna be rejected.
Uh-huh.
So this is not the place that you want to be choosing from.
Right.
What I was getting was the attachment creates this determination, and not the determination where you just know you're going to lose weight. It's, I'm going to control this outcome, and how I'm going to control it is by A, B, and C. And all the ways that you think you're going to control are made-up stories. So in place of determination, that would be relaxation. Relax into the goal. Still hold on to the goal, but hold on to it loosely. You don't have to strangulate it. It's like I was walking my dog yesterday, and my mate was watching the baby, and I thought, oh, just me and Roxy get to go for a walk. This is cool. We haven't done this in a while. And I had her on the leash, and she was going so painfully slow. And I thought, man, this is not working. I'm slower than normal, but my dog's being just pokey. I'm going to take her off the leash, but I'm not going to walk ahead of her. I'm going to watch her. That dog, give her a little bit of room, take her off the leash, and she was running. I haven't seen her be like that on a walk in weeks. My dog's literally, I know she's going to transition anytime. She's 17 years old. I've talked to an animal intuitive. I've talked to a lot of people. I'm quite intuitive about what's going on with her. She's not going to last much longer. So to watch her do this when I took her off the leash, I thought, isn't that interesting? Put her on the leash and kind of drag her along and have her be on my agenda, and she's just pulling against me. I literally am dragging her, and people looking at me going, doesn't look like your dog really wants to walk. Yeah, thanks for the feedback. I realize that. Take her off the leash, give her a little permission. The dog was running and jumping, and she leaped over this grate in the, you know, those drainage grates. I'm like, the dog's leaping, for God's sakes. Look at her. It's the same thing with your inner beings. Quit putting the choke chain on. Things go a lot slower. give yourself a lot of space. You still have the same outcome. I still want to look great. I still want to feel great. I still want to have all of my health goals come into place. But I'm not going to try to strangulate myself to get there. Mm-hmm. Big difference. And there's a calmness when you take the leash off and you stop controlling. What you're really saying is, body, I trust you. I don't have to manipulate you or watch you or control you into this. I trust that you know what to do. I'm going to get off your back. I'm going to stop nagging you. You're probably tired of me nagging and trying all these different things. Your body's like, thank you, lady. I just needed some space. Can you just leave me alone and I will work well for you? I'll do my thing. So how can you be more spacious with this process?
Gets back to the focusing on finding things that will make me happy and staying in the moment, as David was saying, instead of planning it out, trying to plan it all out of what I'm going to eat and when and et cetera.
It would do your body good. Instead, milk does the body good. Uh-huh. Relaxing does the body good, contrary to popular belief. Mm-hmm. And it will go back to the rewiring, like David said. You got to be patient with yourself and just be easy with us and just keep doing things that feel good. But hold the goal lightly. Mm-hmm. Same process that works with money. People get really attached to health goals, and they get really attached to money, and they get really attached to partners, either finding a partner or their partner's got to do things their way. Did you ever hear the story Abraham Hicks tells about planting tomatoes?
No.
Mm-mm. It's a good one for people who get attached. Like, I never get attached, but, you know, I always try to remember this story. It's like planting tomatoes, and you say, okay, I'm planting the tomatoes. It's now like May or June, and by God, I'm going to eat those tomatoes in August. But in August, you go out, and the tomatoes are still green. But you said, I said I was going to eat them in August. So you take a bite, and it's not really so good. But if you would have just waited a week or maybe even two, you would have had those ripe tomatoes. And you could have eaten them, and they would be of great pleasure. So it's that, you know, you can't force things, but you still get to have what you want. And if you relax into it and not push yourself, it will be juicy and yummy. Let's go back to what's talking about intuitive eating. The main thing is when you're using your intuition, things become easier. And for the reason why we don't, and we go back to control, is we're not trusting ourselves. And just like with your body itself, you can trust your intuition. It's like people who are trying to tap into their inner guidance, you know, that wise self, or God or universe, and they'll ask a question, you know, they'll center themselves and they say, okay, you know, I'm going to have this conversation with my inner being. And they pose their question, and they receive an answer, and they go, wait, was that really my inner being, or was that me? And so you've got your answer, and if the answer feels good, that was definitely your inner being. If it sounded too easy to be true, probably your inner being, and that's why you question it, because the answers are always simple, and you can trust. And so if you're looking in the refrigerator or you're asking yourself, am I hungry or not? If you're asking yourself the question, you're probably not hungry. If you have to ask, am I really hungry or am I really not? You know when you're hungry. There's no question, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm hungry. My stomach's growling and I'm ready. Let's go. Intuition will also lead you to the amount. You won't have to manage the stuff. It will just be a knowing, because all you have to do is check in. You're not having to have conversations about it. You're just like, is this good? Or how am I feeling right now? That's all you have to really ask. This can be quite easy to eat this way. There's no figuring things out. You don't have to use your brain. It's just simple questions. How do I feel now? What sounds good? How does my stomach feel now? That's it. It gets to be that easy. But you have to ask the question and become conscious, and the only way you can do that is to be present. So I know some of you already started that last week when David was talking about having a log where you just check in with a feeling log rather than those journals where you write down, okay, I ate two crackers with 2 ounces of cheese today. How am I doing? Well, how you're doing is you'll know by checking in with how you feel. Your body is your greatest feedback, not calorie charts or what you think is an appropriate amount. Really, your body's telling you something. Are you listening? Hey, lady, please listen. I've been screaming it at you. So, David, why don't you speak to automatic portions right now and stopping at satisfaction? Because
okay.
I think a lot of people have been trained out of even knowing what is satisfying around food.
Right. Part of this, as far as automatic portions, is being okay. You've been led by pictures in society of what is a proper meal and really staying tuned with when you are truly full. I don't mean stuffed, I mean satisfied. Now, if you are really tuned to feeling rather than a arbitrary ideal, you're going to find that you may eat more or less than what you were expecting. So we have a source of protein and we have a carbohydrate or a vegetable there, and then we might have some bread, and we have all these ideas of what we expect a meal to be. And we literally have our plates in front of us, and we will fill it up with food, and we'll sit there and force ourselves to complete our meal, whether we're full or not. Part of the process of intuitive eating is also changing and tuning into when you are done, when you are satisfied. Keep in mind that when you are eating, it doesn't immediately pop up into your stomach. It takes some time to travel down the esophagus and start reaching the stomach and start the digestion process. So it takes a while for you to register when you're full. It doesn't happen immediately when you start eating. A lot of times what we find is you have eaten and somehow have eaten to the point of where you're stuffed. And what's happened is you weren't tuned in to earlier in that eating process to where you were starting to feel satisfied. You saw some food still on your plate. You started forcing it down. Meanwhile, the food is still making its way down into your stomach. And then all of a sudden it registers, I'm full, I'm full, I'm full. More food is coming in. And so you remember that you're eating, and the feeling of satisfaction and being full from a meal comes a little bit later. So with that understanding, you understand it's going to take a little bit of time from when you started to eat to when you are going to feel full. So it is very easy from a physiological, anatomical standpoint to overeat. What this means is you really have to be keyed in to be present in the process of eating. One of the things I recommend when you are eating a meal is try not to do other things. Try not to sit watching TV. Try not to sit reading. Try to be present when you're eating. Taste the food. Feel the process of chewing. Swallow. Now, these are processes, by the way, I'm describing to you that you don't have to do forever, but in the initial stages, it will help you tune in to the process of feeling when you're going to be full here. If you're eating and you're sort of like doing other things at the same time, your mind, you're not going to be focusing on how your body is feeling. You're going to be focused on the externals of a book or the TV or whatever else is going on. When you are present with your meal, you can actually feel the changes in your body. You can actually start feeling, all of a sudden, I'm not full anymore. That's your cue. That's the aha, okay, I'm done. Now, the issue here, or one of the tasks to kind of face, you may still have food on your plate. And from an emotional standpoint, you may or may not be okay with stopping at that point. You may still feel the old, you know, clean your plate syndrome going on in the back of your head. Understand that the old ideas and rules of deprivation and hunger and you may not have this stuff again, or, you know, you may not eat again for hours, and, you know, some of the things that we've talked about on this call and some of these previous weeks, that doesn't take place outside of the current moment. That only comes in with worrying about the future. And if you're current with your presence in this moment, it's not even an issue. Issues of deprivation or not having something or not enjoying something, that all comes outside of the present moment. So when you are eating, be present with your meal. Focus on when all of a sudden you feel your body click off. Okay, I'm not hungry. I'm done. That point, be okay with setting down the fork and the knife or the spoon and being done. Now, if it makes you feel better, package up that meal. Take it home with you if you're eating at a restaurant, or if you're at home, you know, put it in some Tupperware or something and put it in the refrigerator for maybe another meal. If you are still concerned about wasting food, if that is something that you still feel trouble with, it doesn't have to be thrown out, but it doesn't serve you to try to force it down when you're done.
Okay, David. So one of the things I used to notice about me when I was really obsessed about food, and I'm interested to see what you, how you would help me with my gremlin, would be if I went out, I would just straight plain get committed to finishing everything on my plate because it was so good. And I would just make a decision. Mm-hmm. I'm eating the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there would be another part of me that says, you don't have to eat the whole thing, Gina. You know, you're not even that hungry. You're just committed to eating it. Yes, I am. And there was this little rebellious gremlin would come up. And so what would you say to someone like that who just gets committed, and then the gremlin comes in and wants to override all the intuitiveness and all the pleasure? It's like robbing me because it says, you're just going to get committed to eating it all. And then I feel like, you know, I just ate a whole turkey.
Mm-hmm. There's two things going on. Globally, what's happening there is you're tuned into the emotion that you're feeling, not your physical body, not what really is going on with feeling hungry or not. You're literally tied into emotionally meeting an emotional need rather than a physical need. So part of that is just, we all have scenarios where we're at a party, a birthday party or whatever it is, and we're handed this piece of birthday cake. We don't get birthday cake every day. Hey, this is a treat. I'm going to eat this whole piece of birthday cake that they've given me. When in reality, if you're okay and you're fine and you're hungry and you're eating that whole piece of cake, that's fine. That's not the issue here. But if somehow in the process of eating that cake and you register you're full and you still have a piece of cake in front of you, and you continue to eat it, then at that point what's happened is you focused on the lack, you focused on the emotion of the occasion, the celebration, you focused on everything outside of the physical body, what it's really feeling and what you're really experiencing. So when those kind of occasions happen, and we've talked about it here before, pause. Get present in what you're really feeling with your body. Sort of semi-detach yourself from the emotions of the occasion or that particular situation and just tune into you. Ultimately, this is what this is about. It's about you. It isn't about the particular party or the occasion or the particular situation you find yourself in. It's about you. And it's just take a moment, pause, take a deep breath, count to 10, whatever process it is that you need to, and just tune into what you're physically feeling rather than what you're mentally or emotionally feeling. It's about bringing focus to something different than what you've been doing habitually.
Okay, this is good. You just gave me some insight that I think will be helpful for everyone. When you have a gremlin come up, see, even in that question, and this is what I would try to do, now I'm just tuned into, you know, I get to take it home and have it for lunch tomorrow. But what I would do was try to manage the gremlin in that moment and say, oh, my gosh, I'm having this gremlin talk. Well, I'm just going to rebel. But then so I wasn't really addressing it at a bigger level, which is, wait, this isn't even about eat the food or not eat the food. This is about how am I feeling and being present. So if you try to have a conversation with the gremlin, it usually doesn't work because the gremlin doesn't know how to reason. Job to do is to keep you in current mode of operation. So in order to bypass it, logic works and going to a bigger picture, which is not even dealing with the details at hand, because it's not about the details. It's about the overriding fact that, hey, I want to be more present. I want to use my intuition and inner guidance to lead me, not be led by all these other things.
You know, there's another thought I want to add here, and this is important for this week, especially because one of the topics for today is automatic portions, stopping at satisfaction. I want everyone to understand something about what's happening in the science and the physiology of your body. when you put food in front of you, your eyes literally register the amount of food that's in front of you and communicates that to your brain, and your brain starts releasing the appropriate amount of you know, your salivary glands in your mouth, you start to salivate, digestive enzymes start getting readied up in your stomach to start receiving the food, to start the digestion process. But it bases it on what it sees in front of it. If it sees a lot of food in front of it, it's going to dump a lot more digestive enzymes, and you're going to salivate a lot more in preparation for the larger amount of food. Your body, through the perception and what you're seeing with your eyes, determines that automatically. And you can actually find yourself encouraging yourself to overeat, even when we're talking about being eating till you're satisfied. But if you continue to put large portions in front of you, you are creating an environment where your body is actually matching the expectations of matching the larger portions. You bring the portion sizes down when your eyes perceive that, when you see that meal. Your body is going to create a digestive environment that supports less food. You're actually going to get satisfied and full earlier and sooner. Again, this is a little bit of a process to where you have to kind of train your body to do this, because habitually you have been eating perhaps larger meals, and it doesn't take very long, probably days, if not a week or so, for your body to adjust to smaller portions. But try a little experiment to where you just, over the course of maybe the next week or two, start just arbitrarily, perhaps, eating smaller portions. And you'll find your body will, after a few days of adjustment or a week, actually adjust to the smaller portions. You will be satisfied and full a lot earlier. It won't take as much food.
Cool. Any questions? Anybody have anything that they want coaching on before we close today? Did you get your answer about really letting go of your hold on pushing against, like, no fast food?
Yeah, I did. And honestly, too, it just feels good. You know, when I think about it, it does not feel good to get that. That is more of a driving point. So I'm glad to think about it like that instead of that I'm following this rule of no fast food. But I really am following my intuition of that just doesn't feel right now to do that. So it's
okay,
a different way of framing it.
Okay.
Because I am enjoying buying fresh food and cooking, which I have not been doing for the last several months. So I'm really enjoying that.
Does anybody else have any questions or any requests? David, is there more that you want to say about science of appetite or anything that you want to throw in before we close?
Well, I do want to touch on one aspect of this, and it's to repeat what we've talked about earlier in these classes, is that work on removing the labels of food, what's good, what's bad. Really, when you are, then there's days when I will finish up a day and I will feel, for whatever reason, it's rare, but about every month or so, I will feel like I've got to have a little bag of chips. I've got to have potato chips here. Start asking your question, when you're deciding what you want to eat, ask yourself the question, what do I feel like? See what starts popping up in your head. Go with the emotion. Ask yourself from the emotion standpoint how it would feel, what you feel like eating. Your body will tell you. Again, don't listen to the emotional part of it, but listen to the feeling part of it. And start listening, asking that part of you the question, what do I feel like eating? What feels good? And go with it, and you'll be fine.
So bottom line of today, you can trust yourself. It's always the same message. You can trust yourself. You can trust your body. And the more you relax into it, the easier it becomes, and you will know the perfect actions to take. You won't have to be putting yourself in a box in order to do it.
Tina and David, I don't know if this is on the slate for another call, but a thing that's come up for me as well is body image, weight, and sexuality, because there's definitely a connection there for me. So I don't know if that's something that is in this class or, you know.
Well, we're going to be talking about physical body, so let's make sure we can even talk about it in between classes.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. If you're not feeling good about you, yourself and your body, you're not going to feel sexy. Therefore, you're not going to feel sensual. Sensual and sexy are actually two different things. Sensual is really that present in your body, feeling the touch, the smell, and I would actually say that would come first, because that will actually help with body appreciation right now. if you're thinking sensuality. I'll ask my sister-in-law here, and she used to teach classes on this. So I'm actually, when I go downstairs, I'm going to ask her if there's any books or anywhere that Asa may point you to that might help with this, because it's really important.
Yes.
Sensuality is incredibly important, especially if it's one of your values.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, sensual, you know, the touch and just the environment and noticing about what environment you're in is very impactful. So sensuality has a ton to do with that. And sometimes you can start from the outside in. You can create a sensual atmosphere that will actually get you pointed in that direction before you personally feel sensual. That's a little back door rather than tackling it head on. But, yeah, we will address it more.
There's a reason why they call it intimacy. It's where we reveal ourselves. It's where we feel most exposed and vulnerable. It's very much driven from how we feel about ourselves and where we're emotionally at. It's a critical issue. So absolutely, we will cover this some more.
Great.
And keep tuning into your body in a new and curious way before, during, and after eating, and really start trusting whatever information you're getting from your intuition. And notice, too, how your digestive system is reacting to this new way of being, what your energy level's like. And this is not about eating right or wrong foods. It's just tuning into, hey, like Karen was saying, hey, I had a hamburger, and it was good, and I enjoyed every moment of it. Mm-hmm. Hey, when you feel like that, you're going to feel energetic. You're going to feel totally aligned. Everything will be impacted positively. So be tuned into what your body wants, not what your head wants. And it's okay if you're going to give in to a craving. Do it with extreme pleasure. Anything else, David, before we go?
No, I think we'll settle on extreme pleasure.